says here in verse 50. And see that little mark there by 50? That means it's a new paragraph. The Lord starts a new subject. And He led them out, His disciples, those He had revealed Himself to. He led them out as far as to Bethany. And He lifted up His hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while He blessed them, He was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped Him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. Now, our Lord Jesus Christ had already been crucified, buried, and had risen again and had conquered death. Conquered death. Spoiled the grave of its great fear. Spoiled the grave of its victory over us. That's why we can say, O grave, where now is thy victory? And all by His presence on this earth, He blessed by His very presence, this earth was blessed while our Lord Jesus Christ walked upon it. He who created it, who upholds it by His power, came here and inhabited. He who does not, contained by space or time, came here and inherited both space and time to walk on this earth, the God who created it. And oh, what a blessing it was for Him to come. And this same Savior, this same blessed Lord Jesus Christ, is now going to pass right up through the air while people are standing watching Him. They're standing watching Him. And He's going to pass right up through the air while they behold Him, and He's going to go back where He came from. He's going to go back to that glory that He had with the Father before the world was. He's going back to sit down at the right hand of God Almighty with all power and authority vested in Him, exalted to God's right hand, and everything in this world turned over to Him. Everything. And oh, He's going to go back. Going to go back. And as our Lord ascended into heaven, I hope that God would teach us some things because of this special way that He went back. The time that He went back, and I want to talk about these hands here that He raised up to bless these people, these dear saints of God. The time that He's ascending here was He was on the earth after 40 days. He's on this earth 40 days after His resurrection. 40 days. And you know what 40 days represents in the Scriptures? Moses was up on the mountain 40 days. He's on the backside of the desert 40 years. Our Lord Jesus Christ was tempted and tried of the devil 40 days. So 40 days always is a proving time, a trying time to prove something. And our Lord Jesus Christ remained on the earth 40 days after His resurrection. First of all, to prove His identity. To prove His identity. And the only people that was interested in who He was after His resurrection was His disciples. Remember, He walked with those two disciples on the Emmaus Road, and they didn't know who He was. And He began to preach to them. And then they said, did not our heart burn within them, because He was getting ready to eat, and He just was gone like that. And He came not only to make known His identity, like He told His disciples, here's my hands, here's my feet, but also to remove any doubts that He was actually raised from the dead. To remove any doubts of who He said He was while He was on this earth, that He was the Son of God, that He would suffer, that He would die, that He would be buried, that He would rise again on the third day. And also, He stayed 40 days to teach and instruct His disciples. And that's what He says here in verse, look what it says in verse 45. He come to teach, He stayed here to teach and instruct His disciples. And then He opened their understanding. They're sitting there and they're scared, they're frightened, thinking that He's a spirit. And then He opened their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures. He had taught them and told them over and over and over again. Remember when he told Simon Peter, you know that the time is coming, the hour is now coming when the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men when he goes to Jerusalem. Simon Peter said, be that far from thee. He didn't understand the scriptures concerning Christ. Well, Christ opened his understanding here this day. And so he come to instruct, to open their understandings that they might understand the scriptures. And he said, thus it is written. And he began to tell them the scriptures. He began to go through the scriptures. Began to tell about how he suffered. He started, no doubt, in Genesis 3:15, where that he would have his heel bruised while he crushed the head of the serpent. And then he began how he would behoove Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. And then he showed how that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations. And we're going to start right here in Jerusalem. And then he says, and you're witnesses of these things. And now you go to Jerusalem after I sin, and you stay right there until God sends the Holy Ghost upon you. And he gave them their commission, says, you're witnesses of these things. And the place where our Lord Jesus Christ ascended back when he lifted his hands and blessed them is Mount Olivet. This is a mountain before where he had communed with his disciples often, went there with them oftentimes. And it says here that it was close to Bethany. And as he came to Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And I won't talk about those hands of blessing. But he, this mountain, looked down upon Bethany. And you know Bethany is a place that he visited often. Is a place that he loved, and there were people there that he greatly loved. Mary and Martha, Lazarus, where he raised Lazarus from the dead, where he stood and wept, tears went down his face here in Bethany. So he was very well known in Bethany, and he loved Bethany. He visited Bethany oftentimes and ate in these dear saints' house. And not only was the Mount of Olives where he was when he lifted up his hands to bless these people, but it was near to Gethsemane, the place where he went through this awful agony. And then there were witnesses. There were witnesses that were going to watch him send back up to glory. And so these witnesses that he came to prove himself to, they were many. Oh my, there were so many of them in number. And they were people who knew him while he was on this earth. And had a long time been familiar with him, and who couldn't be deceived as to who he was. Look what it says there in verse 48. And he says, and you're witnesses of these things. You're witnesses of who I am. You're witnesses of my resurrection. You're witnesses of my message. You're witnesses of the scriptures and what they say about me. And you're witnesses of watching me go back into glory. You're witnesses of me. And look, you keep this, you keep Luke, and then turn with me over to 1 Corinthians 15. Let me show you something. And oh my, you know, they were trustworthy characters, trustworthy witnesses. They were trustworthy witnesses of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says in verse 4 here, 1 Corinthians 15, and that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Now watch this. And that he was seen of Cephas. Remember he says, tell Simon Peter, I'll go before and see, meet him there. Then of the 12. After that he was seen, then he was seen of Cephas. Then of the 12. After that he was seen of the 500 brethren at once. 500 of them saw him at one time and said, this is the Messiah. This is the Christ. This is who he said he was. He's risen again from the dead. And then of whom the greater part remain unto this present time, but some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And that's what's happening right now, the last appearance. And last of all he was seen of me as also one born out of due time. And back over here in our text, they were witnesses, many, many in number. And look there in verse 33, I'm sorry. In Luke chapter 24 and verse 33. And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 together and them that were with him. So it was more than just the 11. There was a lot of people with him, a lot of disciples. And so we see these saints, we see these dear saints of God. And here's this scene. I'm going to tell you something. He's standing here with these disciples. He's getting ready to go back to glory. And as he goes, he lifts his hands. And the scripture says, and he lifted up his hands in verse 50 and blessed them. And it came to pass while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. Now there's nothing superstitious going on here. Nothing superstitious about this. It was quiet. Very quiet. There were no chariots of fire that like came and got Elijah and took him to glory. There were no horses of fire. And yet, it's so majestic here, our Lord Jesus with just his disciples. No angels were gathered around singing. No great choir singing. No trumpet sounding. No imaginary splendor. Just our Lord Jesus Christ standing there with his hands lifted. With the nail prints in them, they looked at him as he held them up like this to bless them. They're looking at those hands that had the print of the nails in them. And he lifted up those hands. And in power and simplicity to show his Godhead, he's doing everything that's done there that day. And God help us, and as we look at this last thing he does as he's ascending to heaven. And listen to what it says there. And he lifted up his hands to bless. To bless. This blessing that our Lord Jesus Christ did here wasn't an unusual thing. This was his customary way of blessing. He'd lift his hands and bless. That's the way that's the way he would do it. He would stretch out his hands and he would bless people. And this is the attitude in which he departed with these blessings upon his lips. And he lifted up his hands and blessed it. Now what he said, I don't know. But just seeing him in and of himself is a blessing. Just knowing that who he is a blessing. To be there to see him ascend is a blessing. But he said he lifted up his hands and blessed them. He said something to them. He said something to them and gave something to them that nobody else in this world and universe can give to his people as he lifted his hands and blessed them. And whatever the blessing love, it was on his lips. And this blessing that our Lord Jesus Christ, when he lifted his hands, was with authority. It was with authority. It's not like these fellows that go like this here. It's not like these fellows that lift up their hands and say, you know, the high priest, he would lift up his hands and he'd say, now the Lord bless thee, the Lord keep thee, the Lord cause his face to shine upon thee. He'd lift up his hands to do that. That's customary. But this blessing was with authority. This blessing was given as his Father was receiving him up into heaven. He's going back to glory and he lifted his hands. And you imagine that you're standing watching him in heaven and his feet start losing gravity. And he's going back into glory where he was before, going back to sit at the right hand of the majesty on high, and he stretched forth his hands to bless them. Now let me look with me over in Matthew chapter 8. Look about the hands of Christ. His blessing then. Matthew chapter 8. Oh my. Oh, he's going back to sit at the right hand of God. So this blessing was with authority. I say the Lord bless you. And the Lord keep you. I can pray like that. And you can pray like that. But when Christ says it, you're going to get it. Look what he said. And when he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Now watch what happened. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was clean. Put forth his hand. When his hands put forth towards you, something's going to happen. When he touches you with that blessed hand, look down in verse 14. Matthew 8. And when Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. And he touched her hand. Touched her hand. Reach out and just touched her hand. And the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. Not only did he cause the fever to go, but gave strength back into her just by touching. So you see the authority in these hands, the authority of this blessing. And I'll tell you something else, when he lifted his hands to bless them, this blessing was so full, so wondrous, that when he lifted his hands and gave them blessings, he gave them all blessings that could possibly come from him at that time. And his hands were empty when he gave them all those blessings. They're so full. That's why David said, Lord, if I could number thy mercies, if I could number thy blessings, if I could number thy tenderness, if I could number all the wondrous things you've done for me, I don't even know where to start. Where are you going to start at with the blessings of God? Just start with this morning. Not counting yesterday, just start with this morning. You got out of bed this morning in your right mind. You know how many people didn't do that? You got out of bed this morning and you wasn't in the hospital. You got out of bed this morning, the doctor ain't said you got cancer and you're going to die. You got out of bed this morning and your heart's still beating and your mind's still functioning and you're here worshiping the Lord. And you're here because you want to be. Now if this is the fact that you want to be here, what a blessing that is. David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let's go unto the house of the Lord. Hey, we're glad when we go unto the house of the Lord. And I want you to see this. And back over here in our text, and he says, this blessing was for them. And he says in verse 15, he led them out as far as to Bethany. And he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass while he blessed them, he was parted from them. There is a them that he does things for, and other those that he don't. It was for them that were present, and for them that who would be beyond the sound of his voice, even those who were present. So when he lifted his hands, he's blessing them. He's not blessing every Tom. He's not blessing just the people that were present. If Esau had been there, he wouldn't have got a blessing because he wouldn't have been there. Judas wasn't there. And let me show you something. Keep that look in Hebrews chapter 7 just a moment. I'll show you something. Talking about for them. Them. Are you one of them that he's lifting his hands to? Are you one of them that right now the Lord Jesus Christ, his hands is blessing? He was lifting his hands for them. Present and for them. You know, he said in John, say, I pray for them who shall believe on me through their word. I pray for them, not the world. I pray for them that thou hast given me. He always talks about them and us. And look what he said in Hebrews 7:25. Wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. So he is just blessing them. Folks say, well, that don't always seem fair. Well, listen, if you want to be one of them, look! Oh, he scattered blessings through this prayer as he prayed for these folks and gave them blessings. He scattered enough blessings for all his elect and all of them who would believe on him, all who were given to him. He scattered enough blessings for every single one of them for all time, even eternity. And what a blessed and glorious way for him to finish his time here on earth. He lifted up his hands. Last thing he does, lifted up his hands and blessed them. Blessed them. And I tell you what, beloved, there's nothing for tears here. This is no deathbed scene here. This is a joyous time. We aren't at the close of life here. No, we're at the very beginning of life when the Lord Jesus Christ gives them and all these great blessings. And let me tell you something about these hands that he lifted to bless them with. When they looked, they saw hands that were pierced. You know the only way we get these blessings? Through hands that's been pierced. You ain't going to get no blessings except through pierced hands. Those hands had to have nails driven through them. And this is how they knew that they were the Lord's hands. They knew they were the Lord's hands. How come they knew they were the Lord's hands? Because they had holes in them. There was no blood around him anymore. Just the scars. Just the scars. And in seeing His pierced hands, they saw the price of the blessings that they were receiving. They saw how it cost Him to be able to bless them. To be able to lift up His hands to them. You see, it's His death that brings the continual blessings upon His redeemed. It's because of those blessed hands, those hands that were pierced, those hands that had nails poured drove through them. It's because of that death and that suffering that He done. It's the cause of continual blessings are bestowed upon His elect, upon His redeemed. Because those hands were pierced. And this is going to be one of the greatest mysteries in glory, is that we'll see Him with all the marks in His body, His hands and His feet. It says they saw Him as a lamb as it had been slain. And we'll see all the evidence of His death and His resurrection. And yet, we'll know nothing at all about sin, but we'll know we're there because of what He did with those pierces in His body. That's one of the greatest mysteries. We won't know a thing in the world about sin, but we'll know that we're there because of we look at those and we won't know nothing, but we'll say we're here because of that. Right there. And I tell you, they saw the way of blessings. And the way that this blessing came. It came from human hands. He lifted up hands of a man. He said, touch me, handle me, see. These were human hands that He held up there. They wasn't hands of a ghost. They wasn't hands of a spirit. They were hands of a man. A man who had suffered. Now, you know where Zechariah is. Malachi is the last book in the Old Testament. Right before Matthew. Zechariah is the one right after that. And you look in Zechariah 13 with me. And all it comes from human hands through these sacrificial wounds. You see, we have a man in glory right now. And they saw the way of blessing, that it comes through human hands. They're pierced hands, but it was human hands, the hands of a man. The hands of a man. And then Zechariah chapter 13, look what it says here. In verse 6. And one shall say unto him, what are these wounds in thine hands? Then he shall answer and say, those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. Went among his friends. And they pierced his hands, wounded his hands. And so you see, beloved, the day when he lifted up those hands, it's in the hands of a man. And a sight of those hands in and of itself is a blessing. It's by seeing those wounds, it's by seeing those pierced hands, by seeing those hands of a man, those hands that had the nails driven through. It's by seeing those wounds that we see pardon. It's by seeing those wounds we see life. It's by seeing those wounds we see forgiveness. It's by seeing those wounds we see that God Himself is just to justify us. When He lifted those hands, we say, bless His name, those hands were pierced for me. Those hands was wounded for me. What did he say this morning? Why not for me? Why not for me? Oh my. And let me tell you, when he lifted up these hands to bless these people, to bless his people here, it's the very epitome of the gospel. This is the very epitome of the gospel. This is the substance of it. It's the hands that's pierced that bestow blessings. Only pierced hands can bestow the blessings. It's through the suffering and death of our Lord Jesus Christ that sinners are saved. It's through the sufferings of our Lord Jesus Christ and the death of our Lord Jesus. Isn't that what He says? Christ, who Christ to suffer? Suffer. When did He start suffering? He started suffering the minute He came into this world. The fact that He was laid in a manger because there was no place for Him to be laid. Born in a cow stable. Laid in a place where they had to put the hay in for the cows and the donkeys and stuff to eat. They cleaned it out, put fresh hay in it, and laid Him in that. He was born to people that were so poor that then they went to get a sacrifices to offer. They had to get doves because they couldn't afford anything else. They couldn't afford a lamb. They couldn't afford a ram. They couldn't afford a bully. Raise the poor, poor, poor man. How often did he suffer? He suffered from the time he was born till the day he died. Suffered all the days of hated and despised and rejected. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Whoever spoke a kind word for him. Whoever stood up for him when it come time to have somebody defend him. You know who defended him? Nobody. Who stood up for him when Pilate said, I want to let him go? Who stood up for him when the high priest slapped him? Who stood up for him when they put the crown of thorns on his head? Who stood up for him while they slapped him? Who stood up for him while they beat his back till he was bloody? Who stood up for him while they plucked his beard off? Who stood up for him and said, oh, listen, don't do him that way. He's a holy man. He's a sinless man. He's a perfect man. Why are you doing this to him? Not one person. Not one person. But it was through this suffering and death. Because of this suffering and death, our Lord has the right, He has the power to bless, and He alone can. Nobody else can bless. Nobody else can. Do you know what it says? Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Whereat in heavenly places. In who? In Christ. In Christ. And oh, beloved, this was the last that was seen of the Lord Jesus Christ as He ascended into glory. But He hasn't changed His way of blessing. He still blesses through those pierced hands. Oh, those wonderful hands of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the same hand that when Simon Peter said that, Lord, if it's you, when Christ came walking to them on the water in the third watch of the night, He came walking on the water, and Simon Peter said, Lord, if it's you, bid me to come. He said, come. And he came walking out there in the wave, got up, he got scared, and down he started with, Lord, save me, I'll perish. It was the same hand that reached and got Simon Peter and pulled him up. Oh, this is the same hand that Thomas said, I'm not going to believe except I can stick my finger in his hands and put my hand in his side. I'm not going to believe. Because I saw him nailed to that tree. I saw him take that spear and open his side. And I'm not going to believe unless I can put my finger myself and stick my hand in that side. He no sooner got those words out of the Lord Jesus Christ, just appeared in presence of him, said, here, Thomas, go ahead. Fell down before him, said, my Lord, my God. Just the sight of him is all he needed. He didn't need to touch him. Just the sight of him. And that's all we need. When we see a sight of those pierced hands, that riven side, where that blood flowed from. Oh, my. I tell you, those are the hands of our blessing. And let me tell you something about not only are they the hands of blessing, and they're the only hands that God will bless. That blessings come through. They don't come through no other way. They come through the suffering and sacrifice and death and resurrection and ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ. The only way you're ever going to get a blessing, you can't earn one. You don't deserve one. He's blessing people who denied Him. He's blessing people who fled from Him. He's blessing people that when He was in the Garden of Gethsemane in awful agony, they went to sleep and couldn't even pray for Him. You know what He was doing? He's blessing people like you and me. Oh, sorry, dead dog sinners. But he lifted up his hand. And I can see every one of them. I can see that whole crowd. I can see every one of them standing there looking at those hands. Oh, what glorious hands. Those hands are lifted up and they say, "The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord cause His face to shine on you, and the only way He can is through me." That's the only way it's coming. That's the only way it's coming. And let me tell you something. Look over at Hebrews chapter 1 with me. Look in Hebrews chapter 1. In verse 8, not only was those hands, the hands of blessing, pierced hands, the suffering Savior, sacrifice, sin offering, and only through those hands do we get forgiveness of our sin. Only through what our Lord Jesus Christ did do we get a blessing. Only through Him. But let me tell you something. Look there in verse 8. "But under the Son, He saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of Thy kingdom." These hands now hold the scepter. You know what a scepter is? That's what a king holds. It's what a king holds. You know, he's standing there. It's his scepter. Sign of his authority. Sign of his power. Sign of his royalty. Sign of his authority. Sign of who he is. Well, you know, when Esther wanted to go into the presence of Ahasuerus, king of Syria, at that time, had 120 provinces, ruled the whole world, as far as the world was known at that time. And you could not, if you went into his presence without him asking you or telling somebody to bring you into his presence, if you went into his presence, he didn't hold forth that scepter, somebody just came and got you and took you out and killed you. Well, Esther said, "I may die and I may live, but I'm in the hands of God, and we need God to do something for us." And she said, "I'll go into his presence whether I live or whether I die." And she went into the presence of the king. And she stood right there just as quiet as a mouse. "Will he hold forth that scepter and accept me, or will somebody come and take me away and destroy me?" He looked at her and held forth that scepter. And that's, can we come into the presence of God? Will the king hold forth his scepter? Can we come into the presence of a holy God who inhabits eternity and the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof? Can we come into the presence of Him who measures the waters in the hollow of His hand, who scatters the stars in the sky and calls them all by name, and not one of them fails without Him? Can we come into the presence of Him who said, spake and it was done, who commanded and it stood fast? Can we come into the presence of Him who dwells in the very beauties of holiness? Well, if we come into His presence, you reckon the king will hold forth his scepter and say, "Come on, welcome"? Not only can we, but we do. The king's already held forth his scepter. Oh, he holds that scepter just like this right here. And you know what that means? Come anytime, from anywhere, and anybody. You got no right to come, but here I've got the scepter held out for you. And all, beloved, when these hands held this scepter, his hands were the hands of omnipotence. They hold all power. This throne does, and this scepter does, and these hands, they hold all power for all people. And he holds the scepter. Let me tell you something about this scepter. He holds the scepter of providence. And what I mean by that, beloved, he governs the smallest affairs of everything in this life, from the smallest to the greatest. People think he is interested just in the great, but he takes care of the smallest affairs of our life. He says that he numbers the hairs of our head. So that's taking a pretty good interest in you, ain't it? You know how many people he's got? He knows every single one of them and every hair on their head. He's just telling us how intimately he's acquainted with us and how he loves us and cares for us. He says, you know, you see that sparrow come off of that tree limb and go down there and get those. We got more birds than anybody I know of. And they sing it all the time and they just down getting something all the time. But you watch them little birds get down and get something. And our Lord says, are you not worth much more than a sparrow? So for less than a penny? He said, and the Father cares for the sparrows. Just think how much he cares for you. And I mean, beloved, the smallest affairs. I wonder how many times providence has went before us when we didn't even know anything was going to happen and it moved something out of the way. And I wonder how many times when we was pretty arrogant and felt full of ourselves that God in his providence put something in our way to cause us to fall to get our attention. One way or another, he's protecting us. He's keeping us. And that's providence. Oh, ain't you grateful? It'd be awful to live in this world and not know God and that he's governed everything in this world for us. That he takes care of the smallest affairs that we have. Not only us, but this whole world. Everything, the king's hands in the heart of the king's heart's in the hand of the Lord, and he just turns it wherever he will. And I'll tell you, not only is his scepter the scepter of providence, from the smallest to the greatest, but he has the scepter of his kingdom. His spiritual kingdom. And that's what he has in this world. He has a kingdom. We're in the kingdom of Christ. He's our king. And the church, he holds a scepter over the church and everything it does. You see, he's the head of the church. He's the foundation of the church. He's the life of the church. We don't have any life without for him. We have no king. We have no foundation to stand on if Christ is not the foundation of his church. And you know what our Lord Jesus Christ said? He said, I give unto them eternal life. And you know what he said? No man shall pluck them. Where? Out of my hand. And not only does he hold the scepter of providence and of the kingdom, but also of the future judgment and eternal reign in this world. He holds the scepter of your life in his hand right now. Of your eternity. He holds that scepter. All power and authority is vested in him. And he holds the scepter of future judgment, don't you know? Huh? What will he do with that scepter? Will he save me? Hold it forth to save me? Or will he hold it forth to judge me? That's what the scripture said. He says, the king says, when the kingdom comes, he said, put the goats over here on the left. On my left hand. Left, you know, it's the right hand represents power and authority and honor. When he said, he's my right hand man, the scriptures tells us that Christ sits at the right hand of the Father. And he says, you take all them who won't bow to me, who won't believe me, who won't submit to me, who won't come under the rule and reign of me. He said, you put them over here on my left. And you know what he says? And you take all the sheep. All the sheep. Put them over here on the right. I'm going to give these folks, I'm going to exalt them. They humble themselves, I'm going to exalt them. And I'll tell you something, beloved. Look here what it says back over in our text. Well, yeah, back over in Luke chapter 24, real quick. Luke 24. Let's worship him. And it says in verse 51, and it came to pass while he blessed them, he was parted from them. Parted from them. Parted from them in presence, but not parted from them spiritually. Life-giving. And carried up into heaven. And watch what it says. And they worshipped him They worshipped Him while He was blessing them. They worshipped Him while He was standing in their prayers. They worshipped Him while He was blessing them. They worshipped Him as they went out from Jerusalem. And they returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continuing in the temple praising and blessing God. Oh, may God always enable us to praise Him and proclaim His glory. Always bless His holy name. And they returned to Jerusalem with great joy after He had parted for them. Why did they turn with great joy? Well, because when He opened their understanding, the Lord Jesus Christ took the veil and removed it from their eyes. They saw the Scriptures like they had never saw. They understood the Scriptures. For the first time, they saw clearly about their Master and what took place. They saw now the meaning of His humiliation. They saw the mystery of His agony, why He suffered so, till His sweat became as great drops of blood. They saw the meaning of the cross now, why He had to suffer, why He had to die, why He had to have those hands and feet pierced. They saw the meaning of His passion, His passion to do the Father's will, His passion to be crucified, His passion to save His people, His passion to do the will of God. And they saw the meaning of His being the Messiah. And though He was the Messiah full of glory, yet suffered. Yet being crucified, He was the Son of God. And they understood it now. And they saw it now. And that's how they went and returned with joy. And that's the reason I have joy. Because I see it clearly. I see it clearly. I see it clearly. Our Lord Jesus, our gracious God in heaven, we bless Your name. Praise You for life.